Hoi, 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 cheeky monkey.
Hello, Bruners! How the devil are we all? Hope you're all well. Everybody's happy tonight, aren't they? Yes, they are. Well, how's about that then? Not bad, eh? Not bad. Welcome one and all. Let's get to the chat box straight away. J-Rob is first in there, then the McManus, Richard Morris, Daryl Kane, Ron Ree, Knight Daggers there. Grant Wilborn, Marco Bricks UK, Stan the Man 450, Remastered for You, Ben Murphy, Haz. Oh, how are we all? And 235 100. How about that? Straight in with donations. People, I can't keep up with everything. I can't. Yvonne Kofor says, she's splashing the donation, says, nice to have that winning feeling again. Damn right. J Rob. In the donation, I'm glad I'm in a detached house. Such shouting, lol. Richard Morris smashes in with the donation, splashing out on the back of a win. Michael Hahnemann smashes in with the donation. We're on our way to Baku. We're on our way, he says. Oh, hey, it's half time. Let's all calm down, okay? Great win today. And with me to talk about it, we have the one and only, my brother from another mother. He's the crab's best friend. It's John Welsh. Say hello, John.
Hello, John. See that? Hey. All uplifting is happy today. He's confused, but he's happy.
Hey, never gets old. Never gets old. Winning. And from the other side of the pond, we have the one, the only, the colonial Carnan. It's Jason Schrader. Hello, Shreds.
Living that high life, boys.
Funny enough, we were talking for the game, weren't we? And you were positive.
Yep.
I was not.
Nope.
I was not positive.
Always listen to the Americans, Jace. Always listen to the Americans.
Okay. Your president?
Nah, he's not American.
Okay. Nice. We'll avoid that like the plague. Right, let's get straight into it, okay? Lineups. John Guendouzi for Torreira. Other than that, probably our strongest available lineup, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, that was the only thing I said pre-game as well when we all saw the lineup to us in our little WhatsApp group we have. Chatting, I said, other than Torreira not being in, best lineup we could go with. It was positive. I think we've all kind of learned that back three is the best we play system-wise. We get most of our width in that system. You got your two strikers up, Ozil at home. Playing in a 10 as well, actually given the freedom. It's the best place for him. He's not forced out wide or anything. The only other argument you could make is maybe Leno for Cech, but, you know, Cech has, I think, done fine in the Europa League, deserves his spot. It's the way most teams do it now. But just the Torreira one, just quickly on that, I think Steve actually made a really good point on that, saying that, you know, he'd been not like on his top form lately, and he'd been kicked about quite a bit in the last few games. So maybe there's an element of he's not quite there fully to play the full 90. Hopefully he's fully fit to start the second leg. But yeah, very pleased with the lineup.
Excellent. A quick shout out, Arsenio Wonga. You're always tapping. Well played, sir. Thank you very much. Danny, GFP's in the box. Danny, get tweeting, please. Get on it now. Jay, we start okay, don't we? You know, the first couple of minutes, bingo, we're getting in there. It's going okay. Lacazette, he's got a penalty shout. He gets pushed in the box, but we had some nice build-up play before it. But do you think he went over a bit too easily?
Yeah, I would have felt, as a Valencia fan, a little hard-pressed if they had, you know, we had given up that penalty to him there. It's a little easy. I mean, there is contact there. There is a slight push, but I do feel like it's a little too easy to go down, and I just don't think the ref wanted to make a big decision that early on. So just let it go. I think maybe later in the match or something like that happens, he thinks about it a little bit harder and a little bit longer. But for me, no, not a penalty. Stay on your feet there and try to keep the ball in play.
Okay. John, it's kind of show that early start, the early part of that game. we looked really confident. And what kind of summed it up? Maitland-Niles, too cool for school, heading back towards goal, edge of box, two players on him. He just does that little turn. I was worried, but he pulls it off. I mean, that was outrageous.
Yeah, the moment that came down and, you know, and I thought, oh, God, no, please don't. Because I love Maitland-Niles and he's great and he is so casual in everything he does. But, yeah, you know, the sending off in the previous game didn't really seem to have affected him. You know, let's be honest, our last three games have been dreadful. There's no denying it. And the confidence looked really shot in the team. But the way they came out tonight and the way they started and just that little moment there shows that they still have faith in their, you know, belief in their ability on the ball and the way they want to play. And that the manager also, you know, he wasn't berating him for that. He's applauding him. He's saying, no, good, you did the right thing. You kept the ball. You kept it under pressure. You played it out from the back and moved up the pitch. And he essentially took two players out with just that little spin. I'm not going to lie. If he does it again, I'm still going to shit myself. But as long as he pulls it off every time, it's fine with me.
I don't mind saying my heart was in my mouth, you know. I love the guy's confidence. But, oh, my God, please, not that close. Not in a game like this. Not in a game like this. Jay, then all of a sudden things turn. You get a Socrates challenge on Diakabi. Oof, he's off his feet. He's late. Studs are up. He gets away with just a free kick. Could it have been a red? Should it have been a red? Your opinion?
Maybe not a straight red, but definitely a yellow card. I do think that in real time when you watched it, I could sort of see why the ref sort of let it go just as a free kick, because it was you know, I think he thought in real time there was minimal contact, but enough to be a foul. But when you slowed it down and you got the angles that we got, yeah, that was a painful one. That was definitely a painful one. So I think Sock was a bit lucky there. To not have more, which could have really hurt us. You know, us, we've seen that we haven't really responded well with early yellow cards lately. So yeah, we could have got down if that would have happened. But luckily, you know, I guess for us, you know, and against what probably the rules say, it wasn't a yellow card. So Sock was definitely a little lucky that won it for sure, because it was pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
I thought he was. I really thought he was. I just thought, you're clowning. What are you doing? You know, but as you say, real time referees view, it's a bit different, isn't it? It really is a bit different. John, the following free kick, really well worked. They overload the box, loads of runners. The man the ball is played to is onside. Really clever. A great cross. How did they miss?
I mean, I'm glad it fell to Garay and, you know, not Pereo or who they have up front, Rodrigo up front. That's got to be up there with some of the, it's probably up there with miss of the season. It will be in the contest for it, because he was what, like 3 yards out?
So to put it, there's enough misses in this game. Okay, let's just the game at the moment.
But, yeah, no, I mean, the thing about it was a warning sign, because it was clear from the start Valencia had come with the idea of sit back, be defensive, try and, you know, hit us on the break when they can, because they had some good tricky players with a bit of pace, and obviously use, you know, they had some big guys as well who were good in the air and use set pieces to their advantage. But yeah, it's a great ball in, and I mean, if that was an Arsenal player missing that, we'd be pulling our hair up.
I, do you know what? You, as it went across the goal, you just thought, oh no.
Yeah.
And when it went over, I just thought, oh, what's going on here?
I mean, before the ball's about to be delivered in, as he's about to cross it in, you just think, oh, well, we've conceded already. Just, you know, I just instantly assumed they'd scored.
But, yeah, and I've got to be fair. I'm not blaming any of the defenders in this run, because I thought, okay, you take Sock's challenge out of it, okay? Mm. You know what I mean? I just thought everybody was doing their jobs. Everybody was on men. It was just really, really well worked from Valencia. Yeah.
Well, actually, the main problem here, and me and John tend to like this player a lot more than others, but Xhaka was really at fault, because he played all the Valencia players on by about a yard or two. And if it wouldn't have been for Xhaka being yards in front of all the other Arsenal players, it wouldn't have even been an issue. But luckily, we didn't pay.
Yeah. Well, Jay, I'm going to stick with you because not long later, we go 1-0 down.
Yeah.
Diakabi scores from a set piece. You got, I think, is it Rodrigo at the back post? He's lost Socrates. Socrates doesn't know where he is. He's gone. Good header back across the goal. Xhaka, look, he's not the most athletic, okay? He's not competing with Diakabi for that. And Diakabi just makes no mistake. Give me your take on it, mate.
It was basically two free headers within 5 yards of our box. That's my take on it. That's atrocious defending, even in League One or League Two in England, right? I mean, you learn that early on, and
that's atrocious defending in League Two in France.
I didn't even know they had a League Two. I thought it was just there was a Farmers League, and then there was like a Sowers and Knitters League in there. I thought that's how that worked. But yeah, I think. I think I put it in the WhatsApp and another buddy of mine. Looks like Xhaka made the motion with his shoulders of jumping, but his head never went up or anything. It looked like he was trying to jump like he owed the mafia money and they just put concrete boots on him. We're about to send him down to the bottom of the Hudson River. That's how heavy he looked going up for that ball. And Diakabi's already got a couple of inches of height on him anyway. And it was too easy for him. It was way too easy for him to get the ball into the box and then to have a header come that close to your keeper. And, you know, I don't think Leno does that much better in the situation either. I think it's tough for the keeper to have to go all the way across the mouth of the goal. But maybe you expect a little bit more from your keeper there. I don't know. But it was just not well marked by any of our players.
No, it wasn't. John, I mean, look, you know, Socrates, first of all, he just doesn't know where he is. Does not know where Rodrigo is. Then with Xhaka, I mean, I give Xhaka a little bit of leeway on this. And I don't normally give Xhaka leeway, but he is not the most springy, mobile guy, is he?
No, I mean, he's good in the air, generally, in midfield, but the problem is that you face one way from, you know, the ball being delivered in. You've been turned around and then you see the ball come back across you. It's very hard to then get your balance right and then win that header as, you know, you're sort of stepping back and the guy's got the leap on you and you can see the back of your shirt. So the first error for me is in the fact that Rodrigo gets the ball across. Now, I don't know if Socrates is the one who's supposed to be picking Rodrigo up. He's the one closest to him and he's closing him at that point. But if you see the way we defend set pieces, generally, we are... It's sort of like a mix between zonal and man marking. There is, you know, kind of a gap of a few yards around the 6 yard area where we don't tend to pick people up and they are just sort of left spare. And it's more you are marking an area more than a man. And it happened in, it might have been the Leicester game and I think the Everton game as well. There's a few times where there was people getting completely free headers, totally unmarked in our box, which has actually been something we've been really good at all season. We've had one of the best records defensively on set pieces and corners up until the last few games. So it's disappointing it's gone now. So I'm not sure exactly whose man that was. Socrates is definitely the one scrambling to get to him. But I think that does take a little bit of the blame away from Xhaka. But Xhaka should be more aware of what's around him.
Yeah, what we've done this season is more of a just get in the way tactic, yeah. Isn't it? You know, like, you know, we were talking about, we've spoken about a lot this season where, you know, you get Torreira or Hector marking one of their main threats, but they're just being that nuisance factor in front of them, so they don't get the run on it. So it's, you know, I kind of see where you're coming from, but I mean, you know, it's a difficult one. Anyway, we're 1-0 down. Then, John, I'm going to stick to you for coming back to Jason this. But a quick shout-out to Ian Johnson. Good shout, Ian. I'll be bringing that up later. Thank you for reminding me. Really appreciate that. And Tyrone Ola as well. John, check save from Pareil. And then you get the AMN follow-up. Oh, my God. You know, at this point... me and Jace were talking for the game. I was doom and gloom, and I thought, oh, here we go. You know, it's just going to be one of those nights. Talk me through it.
I mean, from the moment we conceded that goal, you did kind of get the feeling, and, like, the ground, the atmosphere seemed to be sucked out of it. Apparently it was a good atmosphere tonight. It didn't really come across very well on the TV, and they were kind of going on about it, but you have to try and ignore the commentators and speak to people who are actually there at the stadium. But that nervousness just creeped back into the team, and you could see there was silly little errors, individual mistakes, bad decisions. You know, Maitland-Niles is trying to do the correct thing with what he's doing. He's just, his execution is completely wrong. You know, and again, we're lucky to escape. And at that point, you're thinking, Jesus, this could be 3-0 at this point already. You know, this is like the absolute nightmare sort of position for us to be in the game. Considering how, you know, first couple of minutes of the game, I thought we started really well. So at that point, I was very, very nervous. I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, yeah, you and me both. Jay, what summed this part of the game up for me was the freedom Valencia had all over the park. Our press at this point was non-existent. We seemed deflated. You know, the first chance, let alone the goal, had taken the stuffing out of us. What do you put that down to? Because, you know, I was looking at this in utter bewilderment.
No, I think one of the other plays that sort of that summed this part of the matchup was Guendouzi was going for what should have been for him a 60-40 ball. He should have gotten there first, but he pulled up and lost the ball. And I just thought, like, there's just no – we're just late to everything. We're hesitating towards everything. We're 2 to 3 seconds behind on everything. And I'll be honest, you know, you were gloom and doom, and I thought, ah, shit, Chase is right. You know, obviously, I was proven right. Thank goodness. It seems like we don't have a lot of belief right now. We don't, you know, coming off of three straight losses of 3-0, and to go down 1-0 at home like this, and you already know that basically two goals is what you have to get now at home. You can't leave that match with less than two goals. So. It was tough. And I think the players thought about that. And then, luckily we just pulled ourselves out of it. Thank God, which is something we haven't been able to do recently. So hopefully it sparks something in the league for us on Sunday. But, I just think we're a bit mentally frail right now, from manager on down, you know, from the bench to the physios to the players on the field. It just seems like we get down a little easy just due to our run of form lately. But luckily we sparked ourselves back into life.
Bang out to be good, thankfully, here. John, great break, Lacazette, Ozil, Aubameyang involved. And the ball back from Alba to Laka. Oh, you know, I just thought, for a guy who's gone through the mill confidence-wise recently, fabulous. And Lacazette, to be fair, I'm not going to be able to say this throughout the whole game, but he made no mistake with the finish, and it's 1-1. How relieved were you? Talk me through it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and it was almost against the run of play because we were so nervous and sort of twitchy at that point, and I thought, oh, it's just going to be a moment of time before Valencia get another one. And then we just get this nice little break. Ozil, nice ball into Lacazette, and we finally, you know, we've done this so sparingly this season, it's really frustrating, but we did what you're supposed to do with Aubameyang. You know, there's space for him to run into, put the ball past the defenders and pass him, he's going to get there first. And it's a beautiful ball from Lacazette, it's perfect, it's weighted brilliantly, and great credit to Aubameyang, who I thought, honestly, is probably one of his best games in an Arsenal shirt. You know, only got one goal tonight, but honestly, he was absolutely everywhere, and I thought he played really, really well. But really clever, checked inside. He could have very easily gone for goal himself on his left foot, anything like that. I think that would have been well within his rights. You know, his record this season speaks for itself. But he had the awareness. He puts it perfectly for Lacazette, and Laka just no worries, calm, really good finish. I think that just lifted the team. And the fact that we responded so quickly, if that doesn't come till like the second half, I think it's a very different game. But the fact we got back into it so, so quickly, I mean, it just boosted the confidence in the team. And all of a sudden they went, hang on a minute, this is a defence we can get past. We've got Lacazette, we've got Aubameyang on the pitch. And I think that goal was their 41st between the two of them. And the commentator said, I think Aubameyang's got like 35 in like 50 something odd appearances for Arsenal. Like the record the two strikers have got is ridiculous.
This is the one thing that kind of annoys me, okay? We always talk about Lacazette's work rate, etc. Aubameyang's work rate is there as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's right up there.
But tonight it was really evident, I thought, tonight to see.
Yeah. But he gets overlooked a lot of the time. And yet you're talking about who's got more goals at the end of the day? It's Aubameyang.
Yeah.
You know, and as much as I love Lacazette, I think his form has been very shaky recently. His first touch has let him down. Thankfully, tonight, that was a sweet finish from him.
Yeah.
And it shows how well they can work together. Jay, a nice goal on the break after a really, you know, a horrible patch of form we've been through. It must have done them wonders.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was, again, the goal was so calmly taken out. I mean, we've seen, especially teams that haven't had, you know, or that have been on, you know, goal-scoring droughts, and they just try to snatch at chances, right? Just try to kick left, kick right, and nothing ever works when it comes off. But the way we took that goal was so level-headed and so calm, with Aubameyang understanding, like, maybe I'm not in the best position. Let me lay this back across the box to Lacazette. And Lacazette just not trying to do too much with it. Just let me put it in the back of the net as coolly and calmly as I can. And that's what we said. Oh, no. Okay, we're Arsenal. We're better than how we've been playing. And that's when I started to really see us start to control the game a lot more and a lot better. And that's what we needed. That it was that experience, I think, between those two strikers in different scenarios that really helped us. And Lacazette, easily outside the goals, just his work rate and what he did throughout the night, obviously man of the match for me, even if he didn't score the two goals there. And you know, like John said, I thought Aubameyang had one of his best games in an Arsenal shirt, and I really wish we would find a way to play him in behind more, because this is what can happen when you do that. Try to find him, and he can make great things happen, whether it's scoring himself or setting up Lacazette. But they literally grabbed us by the scruff of the neck and pulled everybody back into it. And those two sort of filled the rest of the team behind them with confidence to continue to push forward and go for another one.
Agreed. John, then you get Aubameyang driving run, unfortunately shoots high. His tail is up, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And we've got a few players in this team that when something swings right for them, or they pull off either a bit of skill or they get an assist or whatever it is, they get energized, and it affects the crowd, and you get that buzz back off the crowd to the player as well. And Lacazette and Aubameyang in particular, I think they really do feed off that. At that point, my mood is switched from, you know, before the game, I'm dreading it. First 5 minutes, oh, hello, we're going to turn up. Oh, fuck, we're throwing it away again. No, we're back in it now. I'm confident we're going to do something, you know, and I'm getting excited again. So, like the first 20 minutes of the game, I got absolutely put through the ringer. I'm sure every fan did.
I, do you know what? Okay, this is the thing. I don't have much regard for Spanish football, French football, Italian football outside the top couple of teams, okay? Because the leagues are so weak.
Mm.
Outside of those top three or four clubs or whatever. But with our form recently, I just thought, you know, they can do a job on us. You just can see it coming. And then after the that goal, and, you know, all of a sudden you saw the pomp coming up. It settled me down, thankfully. I mean, I put in our group tonight for the game, and it's the first time I had butterflies for the game. And that's the first time since the Chelsea Cup final I've had actual butterflies, you know, those real ones where you just thought, oh, my God, what's going to happen here? It's so nice to see the guys react well. So that was lovely. Big shout out. He's in the box. It's Mr. Gunaholic. And he says, good to see you. Good to see John too. Jace hasn't got a clue though. Mr. Faber, I'm just going to say, who put the tweet out about Gabriel? Wasn't me, mate. Wasn't me. It's good to have you there, Dave. You're a top man. Jay, JJJ. Then, before you know it, we get some really nice build-up play. A good cross from Xhaka. Lacazette peels off the back of his man. He makes no mistake with the goal. Fantastic.
Yeah, I think it was the first pass of like 10 or more yards that Xhaka had completed all match, and he had been not only did he play them onside for their goal, but he had just not been – he'd been a lot sore. I think for him, I think the amount of fixtures we've had recently is really catching up with his legs. But, yeah, he put a beautiful ball into the box, and Lacazette, you know, bounces it at the far post there, which is, you know, it obviously gave that keeper so much trouble. And if he would have tried to go with a bullet header, I think he probably would have had it safe. But the fact that he went low with it and bounced, I think that definitely helped. And for me, I thought, oh, no, it didn't get over the line. And then luckily, you know, the referee pointed to the watch, the goal line watch, and then they obviously saw the replay, and it was a good yard or two into the goal. So just wonderful. And at that point, you know, everybody I know is hoping, like, Lacazette hat trick. Come on, like let's do it, right? Because we need as many, and I think we just, while we as fans can't breathe with a 2-1 lead with this Arsenal team, I think it allowed us to breathe a little bit more. Just we're in the driver's seat now. We control this car, and yeah, there were still some hairy moments going forward because Arsenal loves to drive on the ice. But at the same time, I think they did a decent job after that of controlling the match. And, yeah, it was just a beautiful, beautiful header there that you saw from it. Again, all credit to Xhaka, who I thought had one of his worst – if Aubameyang had one of his best games in an Arsenal shirt tonight, I think Xhaka had absolutely one of his worst games for Arsenal tonight. But credit to him for that great ball in.
Hold that thought. John, I want to expand on that, actually. Mm-hmm. We then see Aubameyang shoot wide. You had a great break, an Ozil run, which takes defenders out everywhere. Xhaka puts in a fabulous ball for Aubameyang.
Yeah.
He can't get hold of it properly. Up until this point of the game, as Jay said, Xhaka was struggling. Mm. And he struggled the last few matches, in my opinion. Okay, but all of a sudden, that ball for the goal has really pumped him up. One of the guys in the box mentioned that as well. Who was it? Paul Alves mentioned it, sorry. Go on, talk to me about it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big Xhaka fan, and I know Schroeder is as well, but tonight he was very poor. And I think he's another one who's – we've spoken a lot before about why we play so badly away from home compared to at home, and it must be a mentality thing, because if you can do it at home, there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to do it away, and the disparity in that. And I think it just goes to show, you know, Xhaka is a mentality player. He needs that confidence. Our form has been down. I think the whole mood of the team generally has been down. But when you see him put those little balls in, he loves that little sort of chip curl ball into the box. He starts to believe in his ability again a little bit. I mean, it was weird that him and Guendouzi didn't really control the middle of the park when, I mean, Valencia didn't really have anything in there. They're playing a centre-back as one of their central midfielders. And Pereira, who's a lovely player and he's technically very gifted, but he's not going to win a challenge against you or anything like that. So it was strange for me they didn't dominate in there. And he's got two guys in front of him in Aubameyang and Lacazette, who can hit and will run into channels and will get onto those end of those passes. But he just had a really, really off game tonight. But those two passes obviously did build a bit of confidence in him. But I don't know if he's carrying an injury or he's just, sometimes players go through bad form.
I think he's just tired. I think he's, you saw him try to jump. I think he's just tired.
Yeah. Can we hold that? We're going to talk about the midfield at the end of the game, actually. So I want to bring a couple of the areas of the pitch up where there were some surprisingly good performances and some surprisingly poor performances. But we'll talk about that at the end of the game, if we can. Jay, coming to you, I gave Sock a bit of stick earlier on for the early challenge, which, you know, he risked it, okay? But at a corner, you see the ball cleared and the cheeky bugger puts an overhead kick in. And do you know what? It was on target. Fantastic.
Well, you never said he couldn't put an overhead kick, and you just said he's not fast. Which I still somewhat disagree with, but yeah, he did. It was on target. It was it would have been a little miraculous if it had gone in, but fair play to you, Socrates Papastathopoulos, for even trying there. And just like I attempted to do, basically pronouncing his full name is like doing an overhead kick on a podcast. But yeah, I thought him and Mustafi actually played pretty damn well tonight. They each had a couple of mistakes, yes, but I thought overall for a game, they actually played pretty well. So credit to him, and good for having the confidence to take that on as a defender from about, what was it, 17, 18 yards out?
Yeah, I thought that I loved that from him. I really enjoyed that from him. I thought some of his play tonight was awful. I thought some of it was very good. Do you know what I mean? I thought our whole defense was a mixed bag, but for him to have the cheek and the confidence to go for that, magnificent. That's the first half, guys. Massive shout out to Tieno Barry. He's just piled in the donation, and he says, "We turned the tie around. Get in." Well said, Tieno. Well said. Now, people, you know what time of day it is. You know what's happening. You know what's happening. There's 245 of you in the box. I got 76 likes. Who are you? Who are you? Are you Premier League Arsenal or are you Europa League Arsenal? Make your mind up, okay? That 76 is just not good enough, okay? At this moment in time, okay, you are last week's Unai Emery. You're not this week's Unai Emery, are you? No. You're Unai Emery at Wolverhampton. Not Unai Emery at the Arsenal tonight. So come on, tappy. I want 120, please. Let's get going. Stop messing about. Don't embarrass yourselves, okay? It's not as if you've had 10 pints and you've just gone over that little, that edge which sends you into la-la land. Tap the like button. Let's get it going. Let's all enjoy. Thank you very much. Tappy, let's get going. The magnificent Jim Housen has just piled in with a donation. And he says, Guendouzi, the French Robbie Savage. Fucking hell. To be fair, I've seen Robbie Savage score an absolute screamer against Tunisia. Guendouzi hasn't done that. But I think
Guendouzi... I've seen Elneny score against Barcelona. It don't mean a lot, Chase.
I could score against Tunisia.
Oh, no, this thing was a volley 30 yards out, okay? He struck it so sweetly, it would still be flying if it wasn't for the net. It was unbelievable. Frank Gunner says, I feel threatened. Frank, if I don't get 120 likes, you're all getting threatened. That's all I got to say in it. Okay, come on. Get on with it. It's good to have the chat box. Chat box is happy. And that's magnificent to see. Second half. John, Rodrigo beats Sock on the break. Mustafi clears. We got away with one. Guendouzi stopped running. He stopped running. I'm getting a bit annoyed with him. You know, Socrates didn't cover himself in glory, but it was one of those where I think he'd been let down by his midfielder.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. Guendouzi didn't have a great night, to be fair. And I thought a few times he was a bit lax in his tracking back and covering the space. Fair play to Valencia. I actually thought that Pereo in particular really found some good spots and got between the lines very well. And some of his passing was brilliant. We struggled, I thought, at the start of the second half because we couldn't quite get that balance right, because you're on that delicate edge of like 2-1... You know, you've won the tie if it finishes at that, but it's not the best score to take in. You kind of need that third goal, but you don't want to push too much and leave yourself open because it kind of plays into Valencia's hand. So, Mustafi, that clearance is brilliant because it's so easy to get that wrong as well. He could have quite easily, you know, blasted that into the back of his own net there, which, you know, I'm sure people would have crucified him for, but it's very, very easy to do. The speed is coming in at the angle and everything. And actually, I'm going to say something that might shock some people. Credit Mustafi tonight. He made two bad tackles, like stupid ones. Yeah. But all his headers and everything else, I thought he was actually very good tonight. Like, really, really good.
His header clearances and stuff like that, the stats on him this season are very, very good.
Yeah.
It's just the brain farts.
Yeah.
Which have ruined his confidence and sort of ruined him, you know? And it's sad to see, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but I thought he was really good tonight.
There was an early ball put into the box, and he cut that ball out basically just as the pass was being played, and it was the anticipation for that. I was like, that's what he thinks he's going to do every single time. That's why he goes into that. Mm-hmm. But none of our players, I think, were perfect on the night, except for maybe Lacazette. I'm being cheeky.
Thank you.
I'm being cheeky. Jeez, Jace. Just when I'm trying to put some positivity back in the air again, you got to come in here with. Anyway, I think as much stick as specifically I've given Mustafi over the last little bit, tonight he had a really good game, and I think, you know, I think of the three center backs who the one who didn't cover himself in the most glory was Koscielny tonight, because he made some interesting bombs forward, but I'm sure we'll get to that point at some point, Jace.
Yeah, Jay Soler, just after that piece of play, Soler has an absolute screamer deflected by one of his own players, I think it was. So I think it was a goal kick. But my God, he didn't have catch up ball, did he?
No, it was who was the player that scored for them? I cannot remember his name for the
last
Diakabi.
Yeah, Diakabi, thank you. It hit off Diakabi's thigh and went out for a goal kick. But as soon as he hit that, I was like, that's going in. I was like, Cech doesn't have a single chance. And luckily, it was hit right at his player and deflected out. But I'm sure that Diakabi is probably going to have a bruise from that ball tomorrow, because that was a pure rocket. And it, when he hit it, I thought for sure that the match was level.
Yeah, I got to be honest. You saw him catch it and thought, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
And that pit of your stomach feeling was there. John, Guendouzi puts some good build-up play, puts a good cross in, cut out by the defence. Then you get a Guedes. I don't know how to pronounce his name, it's just a fit. Guedes or Guedes?
Guedes.
Thank you. Snuffed out by Coz. Socrates struggled at on the break there. Then you saw Coz struggling. We were in control at this point. They'd had a few moments, but we'd kept them at bay and we were starting to come into it. And then you see Coz start to struggle. It was a worrying sign, wasn't it?
Yeah, just because, you know, there's. I think it's fair to say, you know, most of our fans don't have the greatest confidence in that defence at the moment. to put it mildly, but you always feel a little bit happier when Koscielny is playing, because he has been probably our most consistent defender this season. And even in this game, you know, he made some strange decisions and some bad passes, but he made some brilliant clearances and some last-ditch tackles and pulled pace out of nowhere. And when he looked like he could barely walk, all of a sudden he'd make a sprint again and looked like, oh, and you just thought every single time, I was like, you're just going to make whatever injury or whatever you're hobbling about with even worse. I'm glad he sacrifices and puts that much in for the team. Like that headed clearance he makes for, I think when you said when Guedes is about to come in. And I mean, that's a certain goal if Coz doesn't get there. And he throws himself at that. That is proper. I'm getting wiped. If I don't win that ball, I'm getting wiped out. I was just like, we have to take him off. But then I start to get nervous about, oh God, if Coz comes off, what does that mean for our defence? Are we going to a back four? Is Monreal coming in? I'm not as comfortable with the team then. Every time I see him play or I see him like grab his thigh or down to his like ankle or anything like that, I'm instantly, whenever it happens with Ramsey or Walcott in the past or, you know, any of those players, those sort of big name, big game players, you always get nervous when they go down and they're grabbing something and you think, oh, please don't be injured.
Yeah, absolutely. Just add Chemical X, I love you too. I love you too. You more than anybody else, because you've said that. You and Yvonne. End of story. But Jay, following on from what John's just said, I mean, you look at Koscielny throughout his career, his bravery, you just cannot question. His decision-making at times, oof, he's got a brain fart in him. But at this point, I was really worried about him. And then you see Guendouzi subbed off for Torreira. And I got the substitution. But with the way Koz was looking at the time, I just wondered, oh, are we going to pay for this? What were your thoughts?
My initial thought on this is the fact that Koscielny probably had them say no. Like, let me go a little bit longer and see how it is. He's got to be so exhausted. I mean, it was this fixture last season that he did his Achilles, and then how often has he played? You know, since he came back from the injury, almost constantly, which was not obviously not the plan. But again, we're starting to see these matches that we've had so much in April really start to catch up with our legs. And I don't think there was one singular incident in this match that injured him. I just think he is tired, and he's getting to the end of his fitness sort of right now. And but I'm pretty sure he's got the experience under his belt to probably let the manager know, like, hey, no, I'm good to go for a little bit. Go ahead and you know, let somebody else come in. But that's probably what happened. Was it wouldn't surprise me if it was more of a, hey, let's go ahead and take you off. He probably, no, I'm going to stay. You can bring somebody else on, and then we'll see how it goes. But you could physically see, even when he was walking, you could physically see a limp in his gait, which was definitely concerning.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely agree. John, you get good Xhaka across. Aubameyang misses he doesn't connect at all, really. Then you get a great cross from Auba. Lacazette misses it. I mean, how did he miss that? You know, I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, I can't even say what I thought, okay? Because it might be misconstrued, because it was just, I'm flabbergasted. How?
When I first saw the replay, I thought Ron Cagliari just just touched it. No, honestly, when I first saw it.
Stop for a second.
Oh, you've seen Big Bunny Kane's message, haven't you?
I just seen Big Bunny Kane's comment. So Big Bunny Kane just pops in the box. This is for all of you listening.
This is libelous.
this is libelous on live. It's magnificent. And he says, Jace chucks around I love yous like John chucks around chlamydia.
Oh, dear. Look, it was crabs and not chlamydia. Oh, dear, it's terrible. All our female viewers, they're going to be right off me now. I like 2% female viewership. That's it. They're not interested anymore. Oh, anyway, should we talk about football again?
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, dear. I've got to say. Yes, yeah, the Lacazette, like, missing the ball. When I first saw the replay, I thought Ron Cagliari had just, like, got his head on it, and it just changed the direction a little bit. But it just, yeah, I don't know what, just took his eye off the ball last second, and, I'm really not sure how he's missed that. But you could see it affected him, because he was really distraught afterwards that he didn't get on the end of that, because that should have been his hat trick.
I'm flabbergasted. A player of his quality,
yeah,
a player who, you know, I got loads of time for both Alba and Lacazette, especially Lacazette though. But
would have backed him all day to bury that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. Quick update: John Welsh gave me crabs. Says that is so true.
I'm convinced that, Steve.
I you know what, I think it is as well. I got a feeling that's Steve. That is the one and only, the great Lord Hillwood. Must be. Jay, then we see Gabriel with a Mustafi-esque challenge on Lacazette from behind. And you keep on remembering why we sold him.
I don't under I, that wasn't even a card. And how? It was impossible for him to win the ball from that position. I just thought, mate, why? Like, what are you doing? He shouldn't even be at Valencia, in all honesty. I'm sure there's some sewing and knitting team in France that he could go to in that division over there. Because to be fair, he had a decent game. They had some good clearances for them, but that tackle was just, I mean, as cynical as a tackle can come. Just absolutely, there was zero. He was in zero position to win the ball. The ball was on the other foot, was coming to the play. I forgot who it was. Almost coming to his other foot, and he just was like, "Nope, gonna just pop him right here."
Just reminded me of why we sold him. You know what I mean? Yep. And I like that.
Yeah. It was a mate. I have no idea how the ref didn't give him a yellow card for that.
Do you know what? I thought the referee officiated really well.
Yeah, okay? It was the same ref as last year for the Athletic.
Yeah. And I thought even the decisions I disagreed with, I could see see his perspective on it, and the game flowed. He didn't hold it up unless he felt he had to. He tried to play advantage, but there was the Diakabi incident first half where I thought, that's got to be a yellow from behind. And that one where I thought, oh. So, it's one of those, okay? It's just one of those, but I thought, I liked Gabriel. I liked Francis Coquelin. I don't think they were Arsenal players, but I liked them of their commitment and their attitude. Do you know what I mean?
I can only assume the referee just looked and went, "Oh, it's Gabriel. He's an idiot." Just sort of ignored it. It's the only logical conclusion I could come to.
You know what? I'm pretty sure some referees do think like that.
It's almost like he has a handicap sticker on him, so he gets an extra foul or two like that a match before he gets carded.
Danny, we do apologize. Oh, Jesus, what are we doing? We're going to offend people tonight. John, Lacazette, I want to come back to you then. I want you to pass straight over to Jay in this. Then Lacazette hits the keeper. Well, Neto puts his leg out. But at this point, my notes are, Lacazette hits the keeper, point blank. What the WTF?
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean,
it was the same save that Cech made earlier in the match, to be fair to you.
Yeah, I mean, I just expect Lacazette to finish that. That's the thing. He wasted the header with he didn't even connect with, which was just bizarre. I don't know how that happened. And I'm sure he's still thinking about it. He'll probably be thinking about that tomorrow. And then you get this chance, which, you know, he gets fortunate. We get a bit of luck because I think it's from a Kolasinac shot a goal and ricochets off a defender and falls to him in a good position. But as soon as the ball fell to him, I thought he's going to score. And then I was expecting a Lino's flag to go up because I thought he was offside at the time, just the way the ball came to him. And then you see the replay back and everything. You just think, how? Like, I know Neto didn't do great for the second goal we scored for the header. He'd got his hands to it. And I think he would have thought he'd done better. And I saw him when he played in Italy and he was at Juve. And I can't remember. It might have been Fiorentina or someone before that. I can't remember now. But he was, you know, he's a very good goalkeeper and he's highly rated. But it just made it too easy for him, Lacazette. And I think that earlier miss where he doesn't connect with his head is still on his mind. And you can see when the ball finally goes out of play and he's got a second to think, his head's in his hands and he's just like, how have I not got four goals now? You know?
Yeah, I mean, Jay, the thing I looked at is, I think John summed it perfectly with, I expect Lacazette to finish that, okay? You know, you can talk about Valencia's Mrs. Ollie Went, but that's a £50 million striker who, to be fair, you know, works his socks off. Normally, at that range, he's dead-eyed. How did you feel about it?
Conflicted. Conflicted. Like, I feel about it because, like I said, it's the same. It's a really good save. At the same time, you expect a striker of his quality to finish it. But then, if the keeper makes a great save, like, a great save is a great save. And that's what makes it great, is because it is expected. You are expected to finish it, and you don't. And so I think, yeah, he's expected to finish it, but Nieto makes a great save about it. And fair play to him. You know, I mean, he did really well because I thought he was really poor on the header. So he did really well there and denied him. And yeah, strikers are supposed to score goals and they're supposed to have that type of a chance finished off. But that's what great keepers do, is they stop shots that are supposed to go in. So John's being a bit harsh on the old Nieto in my opinion, because that's what makes the save really, really good, is the fact that it was supposed to go in, and it is a striker who finishes those, and he denied him from doing that. And so fair play to him. I talked to myself out of my conflictedness. It was a great save. It's a great save.
I'm going to stick with you then on this.
Yeah.
Then you see Cech make a fantastic save from Gamero. Okay, after
same save. Almost exact same save.
Parejo. The ball from Parejo is just magnificent. And wow. Yeah. Go on.
Yeah. No, really, really, you know, really good ball in. And then, man, Petr Cech. Like, is there anybody who is more professional and like, accounts for themselves any better than this guy does on and off the pitch? You know, to come in and lose your starting spot this year like he did to Leno, who's been absolutely fantastic this season. And if you look at this, people were complaining about stats and everything, and like, yeah, if we take out sort of the times earlier in the season we were all just a little more clinched when we were trying to play out of the back with Cech. If we take out some of those, that feeling that we had, he's been statistically just as good as Leno's been this year when he's been playing. And we've got to give the guy fair play to that, because he's going to be 37 years old here coming up. He's retiring. It's his last chance for glory in this game. And he had a really, really good game tonight with some really crucial saves. And made another one there on the play you're talking about. And I just, you know, nobody on this team is more professional and sort of the silent leader type. I'm sure he's vocal. I just, you know, we're not in the locker room, but just the silent leader that the younger players in this team can take that example from and learn from, because the guy just comes on after when was the last time he played? You know, a few weeks ago. So he's had a little bit of rest and comes on and has a really good game like this and makes some saves that are going to be vital for the fact that they only got one away goal. Just really, really kept us in the match, and my hat goes off to him, because he's a great guy, and that save he made there was fantastic.
I think you summed that up really well. You know, in this summer we're going to lose him, Ramsey. Yeah. I mean, talk about two of the most professional guys ever.
Yeah.
And the characters we're going to miss. And, you know, I for one I'm going to miss Petr Cech. I think he's taken a lot of unfair stick. Yes, I think he's been patchy at times, but with the defense that's been in front of him over the last couple of seasons, you know, people say few years. I don't agree with that. You know, the last couple of seasons we've struggled, but I think he's a top level performer, top pro. And you know, when you see questions of because he's going to coach at Chelsea, would you not pick it? Would you put Leno ahead over him? I just think that's utter nonsense, I'm afraid. Okay, I just, you know, the man is a serial winner. He's a serial pro, and he's done right by us. So that's magnificent. We've got apparently 6,002 subs. Danny's going bananas. He's so happy. So thank you very much.
Those are subscriptions, John. Not the same type of subs you're used to. Very different.
I thought you were going to say subscriptions, but
yeah. Okay, you two back on script again. Okay? God.
Yeah, that's what they call them in America. They call them scripts.
I wasn't going to swear tonight, and you forced me.
He's not wrong.
I know. Get. In any case, John. Again, after that piece of play, we see Koscielny really struggling. He couldn't keep up with play at that point. And then you see Ozil sub for Mkhitaryan. And at this point, I'm really, really worried. Are we, what were you thinking?
I was nervous. I mean, I was especially nervous because I was an idiot. Because at that point, I thought, "Oh shit, that's our last substitution." For some reason, I'd magically subbed off another player somewhere during the game in my brain. And then I double checked and I went, "Oh no, we got one sub left. Okay, he hasn't made that yet. You know, he's not that much of a madman." In terms of not subbing off Koz at that point, I was worried. In terms of the sub for Ozil, I was a little, I don't know, I wasn't like confused by it as such, because I thought Ozil would drift a little bit out of the game by that point. Yeah. At the same time, I kind of thought, are we going to stick with the two up front, or are we going to change the system slightly and go with one up and Aubameyang will shift slightly wide or something like that? And it was just interested to see where exactly Mkhitaryan was going to play, because it was getting to the point in the game where, are you going to sort of settle for 2-1, just control it, and if you get a chance on the break or from a set piece or whatever, you take it. Otherwise, you just sort of ride it out now and try not to give up too many opportunities to Valencia. But, you know, we kept going, and I actually think in the end it was the right substitution, because I thought when Mkhitaryan came on, he was quite positive and gave us a little bit more energy and thrust in the final third, because Ozil had, you know, I thought he had a good game tonight, Ozil. I thought just to the latter point before he came off, he was just starting to, not struggle in the game, but he wasn't being as effective.
Yeah. To be fair to Mkhitaryan, when Mkhitaryan did come on, he gave us a bit of impetus. It was really nice to see a driving performance from Mkhitaryan tonight.
That's a man playing to not get a pay cut. That's what that'll do.
Well, you know, look, with the pair of them, I don't think they deliver on what they earn. And it's an issue. But tonight, that Ozil played well. I thought Mkhitaryan really had a go when he came on. The magnificent Nicky Wilson has piled in the donation, and he says, a minute's silence for Liverpool and the Spurs. Nicky, love you. Love your work. Love your sarcasm. Love your trolling. But there's no chance in hell we're giving those scumbags anything, not even silence.
Can I just say, my favourite moment of last night was, Suarez scoring and celebrating against Liverpool was hilarious. The second goal and the fact that Messi just got a tap-in walking off his chest was hilarious. The ridiculous free kick he scored, Jesus Christ, how did he do that? That was amazing. Then the Egyptian Walcott ran up the other end, and did you see what he did? Did you see? He missed from 6 yards. He hit the post because he's the Egyptian Walcott. He's not that good at football. And then all I heard today was Scousers going, oh, we outplayed them. We were great. We were the best team on the pitch. You lost 3-0, you wankers. Fuck off. I hope you finish the season with 97 points and you finish with no trophies. You Scouse. Yeah, I'm not going to say the rest. Anyway, you know what? You are going to walk alone this season, because you're going to walk without a fucking trophy. That's what's going to happen to you, you bin dippers. Anyway, that was great. Oh, and obviously Ajax beating Spurs as well. I know. That was hilarious. Sorry, just
the funny thing is they can't stop pushing things over.
People, yeah, that's terrible, isn't it?
Yeah, mad.
Pyramid pennant.
Okay, let's move on. Jay, Mkhitaryan and Gabriel clash knee on knee. Oh my god, that looked
I actually currently in the moment have a torn meniscus. Because of basically almost the exact same thing, somebody fell into my knee and it went backwards like that. So should have surgery here in the next month or so. Hooray! But yeah, that is painful, and I was pretty surprised that he continued on. I've also gone kneecap to kneecap with people a few times in basketball in the same way. Also not fun. But yeah. I shed a tear for that, just knowing what that pain was like.
I felt sick. As Danny points out, I've only got one actual knee. The other one's held together by a little bit of gristle. It's just, oh my God. It was just, you know, I've had head clashes, knee clashes, you know, I've smashed somebody on, where they're wearing shin pads and I'm not, but that looked more painful than most of it. I just thought, oh my God. I felt, yuck of me. John, Nacho replaces Koz finally. He looked a relieved man coming off, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was a little bit of, you know, maybe he realised he's played, I don't want to say one too many games, because I think he's been pretty good, to be fair, in all of them. I'm hoping he gets the Brighton game off, like we can afford to rest him for that, and then he can, you know, have a full week to recover for the away leg for Valencia, because I think he's going to be huge for that. But I still thought he did really well tonight. Yeah, he made some bad decisions in some of the runs forward he makes, but it's the way we play. We're adventurous. We try and score goals, and they want to play it out from the back. One or two of his passes went astray, but I thought some of the challenges he made, and like that last ditch header in particular for the Grealish chance was superb, and he got a really nice round of applause. So I hope he's all right, and you know, fingers crossed, maybe we can rest him this weekend, and he's back fully fit next week.
I don't think we're going to have much choice. He did not look good coming off. Jay, let's go to the final after the game. Mickey drives forward, shots blocked. Lacazette shoots, keeper saves. Lacazette brings the ball down, passes to Kolasinac. Kolasinac, his crossing's been hit and miss all night. But this is fantastic to Aubameyang. And bang, Aubameyang. That's all it was. 3-1, magnificent, wasn't it?
Yeah, the precision for the just the slight touch that Aubameyang got on the ball to just put it underneath the keeper, but keep it inside the post there was just magnificent. Piece of technique and quality there, and that's why we signed him. And it was I wouldn't even have said that Kolasinac's crossing was hit or miss tonight. Because I want to say it was 90% miss and 10% hit. And luckily, that 10%, we got a goal from it. So I'll take it, because I think he has had an issue finding the right players over the last month or two. I think that's one of the reasons why we're having such an issue at the moment. But, yeah, I think, you know, I'm glad he didn't stop putting them in the box. That's what's great is he just kept pumping them in there. And if it was going to find somebody, great. And if it's not, that's fine. Like, but he kept trying, and we finally had one that came off for us, and it was a big one, and it was a really big one. And I think, you know, for all the work that Aubameyang put in tonight, he definitely deserved a goal, and, you know, a goal and an assist again tonight. And him and Laka have just been, you know, really, really showing up to town and you know, putting teams to task when we've been winning. And it was great to see that again tonight. But just the subtle touch and technique that Aubameyang put on that ball at the near post, just sneak it inside there was a thing of beauty.
It was John. John?
Oh, sorry, mate. I was like, I thought there was going to be a pause in the question. You just want me to talk about the goal? I can talk about the goal. Don't give me the disappointed look face, honestly.
John, yeah, that's a Kolasinac missed cross right there. Jeez, yeah, that's what that was. That was
like Kolasinac. I can put the ball in the box, but if the player doesn't get into the box,
or you sent all the way over across the box where nobody was, and then out of play. That's what that was, Jace. That's what that was. That
segue to me was like Kolasinac's crosses for the majority of the game, other than that last one. He just put it in the right area.
Do you see what I got to put up with? Honest to God.
But no, he Shredder summed it up brilliantly. He put it in the right area, and the movement from Aubameyang, he just ducks inside, drags the defence. You've read that again. I'm sorry, anyone who's listening to this who's not watching live, because you're getting little laughs and stuff and you're missing out what's going on. John has never missed any of our boxes. Too true. but no, besides the cross and Kolasinac put it in the right place, it's the movement from Aubameyang where he just drags the defender inside and then goes back out again. It's just really, really smart play. And look, at times this season, I've said he's a pace merchant, he's a tapping merchant, and he frustrates me, and he hasn't always got the technical ability. But tonight was, I thought Aubameyang all round tonight was probably, I don't know, maybe it was his best game in an Arsenal shirt. I thought he was excellent. He was so, so good in everything he did. With the ball, off the ball, when we didn't have it, and he was, you know, tracking back to defend, and just everything he did was really, really good tonight. And I'm glad he got the goal, and because he fully deserved it. But more importantly for us as a team, that third goal makes such a difference. 2-1 is a totally different game. 3-1, very, very different.
I got to be honest with you, in the box here, Thomas from Norway makes an excellent point. John missed the sitter there, correct? Tien Obari says, Aubameyang man of the match. I wouldn't disagree with that. I think there were a couple of people with their hands up, but I think Aubameyang was a strong, strong shout. And it put us in a strong position going into the second leg, that goal. And, I thought we earned it. I really did. I thought from a good start to losing our way to then coming back and dominating the game. Yes, Valencia had their chances. They proved to be a better team than I thought they would. But I thought we controlled most of the match. I thought we worked hard for those goals. I thought we put lots across in the box. We weren't quite getting men into the box, which is an issue for us. But guys, I really want to talk about two areas of the park tonight where I have mixed feelings about. First of all, the midfield. I know Guendouzi's 19. But some of his antics off the ball and some of his efforts to get back is just not good enough. On the ball, I got no problem with him. I really like him as a player. Xhaka is struggling. Torreira's struggling. Ramsey's out. He's gone. It's a problem area for us, isn't it? Jace, you first, then to John. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with I think Emery now realizes he can't really trust Elneny, but he's about all he's got, so he's got to play him at some point, and he's got to put him on the bench. We've played so many games in so few days due to the Europa League schedule. And
can I just come back to you on that point?
Go ahead, Pat. Go ahead.
Apologize. When you're looking at the start of the season, you're looking at your target, and we had to target Europa League, we knew there was a chance of this happening.
Okay? Yeah, but we did realize we'd lose our best midfielder at this point either.
That's fair enough, but that's always a chance for any team. Other teams get injuries as well. I'm not a fan of we've had a lot of games, that excuse, okay?
Why not look at Chelsea, who has the exact same amount of games as us almost, and they're also struggling. So it there's a pattern here. Whether we want to accept it or not, there's a pattern here. We don't have the depth that the other teams have.
But if we want to win these trophies, we have to cope with it.
Correct, but we've also not won a trophy yet. So who says that we've actually coped with it? I hope we do come through this, especially, hopefully we win again next week, and hopefully we can pull out a win on Sunday as well. And I think that's still to be seen. But I think denying the fact that we don't have a ton of depth in midfield anymore, and Emery, especially, with the two midfielders, the Xhaka, Torreira, Guendouzi, and any sort of cluster of players, losing Ramsey really hurts us. It takes our best, sort of driving force in that position and takes them out of the match for us. So that has to play a part in it. It's whether it's a 60% part or a 20% part, we can debate that all day. But to say that it doesn't play a part, I think is being a little naive here.
We have to as a squad, as a team, cope with it.
We got to play the games. I mean, we can't just say, "Oh, we're tired this week." We can't. So but it has an effect on our play, and I think we're seeing that effect now with heavy legs. And I think this is Guendouzi's first season in a really up tempo league, and we always make fun of France or whatever. But he's a young player. He's somebody who I think I would love to see come off the bench more at this point than see him start. I don't know if Torreira and Xhaka maybe also carrying some knocks or something, and that's why there may be a little rotation in that area. It's got to be something there because we just don't have that form. We don't have that crispness and that sharpness that we should. And I think that's probably what it's down to. And I think that's, for me, why getting in Champions League is so important. Get that extra cash flow injected into the club and go get better and more players as well to bolster the squad so that we actually have somebody to rotate in these games now. specifically in that position. And, you know, I think John would agree with me here on that. And is the, you know, we've got to have that mentality of sort of, hey, like, we're just going to be playing now. Like, you've got to go do it. Or, John, do you think that maybe we need to sort of alter some training methods at this point to find some, like, maybe rest a little bit more during the week? Or do you think we should still sort of be going at the same clip that we have been?
I mean, it's interesting you bring up training, because I think for the players that were already at the club, so none of the new signings, obviously, but Emery's come in and he's very sort of hyper-focused on fitness and running and the distance covered and stuff. And if I think we've, like, statistically run further than any other team in the Premier League this season, which is definitely going to contribute. So I think some of the players who are already in the squad are going to be suffering a little bit. Now, that can be managed by the manager and the fitness staff, obviously, but these are targets that I expect the players to hit. It can take some time to adjust to that. You've got to factor into it that I think Shredder summed it up perfectly. We've played a lot of games. Now, yeah, other teams have suffered doing the same thing, but Guendouzi's come from a different league. He's never played at this level. You know, Torreira's come from Syria, where you do have a winter break. And also, he's only had one real season in Serie A. He literally played one season in Serie A properly, and then he's gone to the Premier League. And he's not come from Juventus or, you know, one of the big clubs. He's come from Sampdoria. It's very different. People forget he's only 22, but he's seen as this player who's miles ahead of Guendouzi, and he's still extremely young. I think you look at the number of games Xhaka's played, not just this season, but the last, I don't know, since he's been at the club. If he's not injured, he's played every single game. You know, so all this catches up, and even obviously we're talking about the middle of the park in particular, but I think if you look at the fact that Bellerin was out injured, that meant Maitland-Niles could never play a middle game in the middle of the park for us, where he would have rotated and come in a bit. Danny Welbeck being injured meant that players like Iwobi, Mkhitaryan, etc., never really could come into the middle at any point. We'd never really played a free in midfield, because you're never going to do it with Ozil, really, as an actual free, because he's not going to play as a central midfielder as such. He's always going to play higher up. So Welbeck not being there means restricts Iwobi or Mickey coming in and playing in a free in midfield. And that limits your options. And also just the fact, you know, we've been in bad form. Let's be honest, we lost the last three games. We've played awful up until tonight. And that will affect players. Let's hope it's just this one game. It is a little bit of a worry, but I do feel there's better combinations in the team. Like, I think Xhaka works better with Torreira than he does with Guendouzi.
One thing in this, though, is on a couple of occasions tracking back, you see Guendouzi make the choice not to bust the gut.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's my issue at the moment, is that he's happy to go down holding his face when he's hardly been touched. You know, against Palace, him and Zaha were having a playoff, but who can lie down the longest feigning injury? Okay, don't get me wrong, Torreira likes it to do it as well. But I don't see, you know, I think Guendouzi chooses not to bust the gut to get back. And that I don't like.
And no, you're not going to like that, but again, that is an age and an experience thing. But also, that the although it's obviously it's him, the player, who's made that decision, it's also on the rest of the players on the pitch who are older and more experienced to pull him to one side and say, this is not good enough. You need to be doing more. Obviously, it's on the manager as well. And I'm sure that, you know, the way they talk about Emery and his coaching and everything, I'm sure that every single player gets, you know, fucking hours of video detailing every single inch they're off out of position on the pitch. Maybe that's why they've like all fallen asleep watching that all the time, because they've got too much fucking video to watch. I don't know. But look, I'm not going to give them a hard time. It's a little bit worrying. I thought we got better as the game went on. And to be fair to Guendouzi as well, I actually thought as the game went on, he improved, you know, in the match as well. So look, this hope that it was just we're on a bad run. We've turned it around now. We've gone on. We've won this game. We got the third goal, thankfully, you know, and it's huge, because let's be honest, I know we've still got the, you know, chance of the top four in the league. It's slim. It's still there mathematically. But our whole season felt like it like hinged on tonight's game.
That's fair comment. Eric Newcomer, he smashes in a donation, and Eric says, another year for Emery, board backing or not? We're going to ask that in questions. Eric, because I think that's really interesting. Right, boys, we've carpentered the shit out of that. So I want answers for the from the pair of you.
Yeah.
Ozil and Mkhitaryan, what were your thoughts on them tonight? No more than two sentences, please. John, you first.
I thought Ozil was very good, started well, and then started to drift out of the game in the second half, just because we started to play a little bit more passively and not so on the front foot. Mkhitaryan, I thought, great, perfect, came on right attitude, right energy, and just gave us that little bit more impetus. I think ultimately helped us to get that third goal.
Jay.
John said everything that I agree with.
Do you know what, boys? It was nice to see it from the both of them tonight. I enjoyed Mkhitaryan's cameo more than Ozil's, but I thought Ozil played well, and that was good to see. So let's go to some questions then, guys. We're gonna keep these short and sweet. You know, don't not say what you want to say, but let's wrap this up for today. First of all, Ian Johnson mentioned earlier on. Oh, actually, I'm 117 likes, chat box. There's 230 of you watching. What are you doing with your lives? You could be homeless out there. You could be on the streets, but no, you're in front of a computer. You're enjoying this content. You're enjoying a win. You're happy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're all jolly now, aren't we? We're all jolly now. There are those out there who are less lucky than you. So give a tap for them. Come on, do it. Let's go. Three more, please. No, I want 120. I demand it now. It's terrible. Ian Johnson mentioned earlier on, it's the late, great Rocky's birthday. Happy birthday, Rocky. Always missed. He represents everything that's good about the Arsenal. And I always miss him to this day because, you know, you were this good-looking lad, you youngster coming into the into the team who just played football the way, funny enough, Arsene Wenger would have loved to have played. You know, you'd have loved to have played like Rocky. You know, so smooth on the ball, some fantastic goals, real grit about him, and just, from what everybody says, a bang decent guy. And you know, Rocky, remember, is always a big thing at the Arsenal, and just sadly missed. So happy birthday, Rocky. You know, we still think of you and we still love you. On to questions. Jay, I'm starting with you. Just Add Chemical X asks, can we realistically put up a good fight against Chelsea considering we can't beat any Premier League team at the moment?
Yeah, neither can Chelsea. So why, so why couldn't we put up a fight against them? Yeah, absolutely. And
I agree.
As much as we're on Emery, they're on Sarri right now. I mean, they're not having an easy go of it. Remember, they're only like 1 point ahead of us. And how much money did they spend? And they're going to have a transfer ban. And their head coach chews cigarettes on the sidelines. Like, what is going on? Come on. If we can't beat that, get out. Of course we can beat them.
Okay. John, Carly Duelguna asks, we have two of the most deadliest forwards in Europe. Why are we so shit in the Premier League?
It's a great question. I just want to say, I know, Jace, you normally do the shout-outs for donations, but Ben the Beast, have some bunts, boys, especially with donation. My working day is made so much more bearable listening to your podcast. Thank you so much, Ben. Honestly, that really does mean a lot to us.
Sorry, pal. I'm going to shout out to you. Ben the Beast, you're a rock star.
Oh, fucking hell.
Thank you, bro. Sorry, carry on.
Why are we so... our defence, I don't know. Just, yeah. I mean, our home record is, minus the Palace game, is fantastic. We've scored, over 100 goals this season? You know, so don't put it on the strikers. Put it on everyone else. Look, if you haven't got an answer for this question, and I don't now, and I've almost carpentered it, either blame Ozil or blame Mustafi. There you go.
Almost.
You forgot blame Iwobi.
Oh, yeah, blame Iwobi.
Oh, amen. Yeah. Right, okay. Stan the Man 450 asks, I'm going to answer this one. You can pick one of Guendouzi or Torreira to start in the midfield with Xhaka and Ozil, who would you go with? I've been really harsh on Guendouzi tonight. So I like him. I want him to do well. But I would pick Torreira ahead of him because I think he gives us a little bit more solidity going backwards. And I still think he's effective going forward. So, and that's, you know, there's not much between them, but I think Torreira is ahead. Jay, Jim Housen asks, obviously the players are well paid to perform, but how do you think, how important are the fans in winning games?
I think fans are important. I don't think it's, you know, I think if there were no fans there, it'd be really boring, but I definitely think that the fans can provide a lift for the players. And when you get behind them, they can feel that. It just like you get goosebumps when you're at a large sort of crowd event and everybody's get like, you feel that, the players can feel that too. That's why when you see the Boo Birds come out, the players feel that. And then they start to second guess themselves. As much as they say like, nope, I'm focusing on the match, and I like there. It's a sense in the stadium that you can get, and it can absolutely help. And I'm actually going to a playoff hockey game tomorrow night to experience that, because the Carolina Hurricanes, you know, we haven't had a great regular season attendance in our fan base, but we finally made the playoffs, and on TV you hear the crowd in the playoffs games, and it's deafening. And it's the players always say after the games here in Carolina that they're like, you know, the crowd was so behind us, we couldn't let them down. We had to play for them. And that's, you give the players that little extra oomph, that little extra confidence that you're behind them and you're with them no matter what. And you can see good things happen. So definitely players or fans, I should say, are definitely important.
Okay, cool. Ben the Beast has donated again. Ben, you're double hard rock star. Nice. Thank you very much. You're a gentleman. John, Marcus Hodges asks, will we see younger players called up for the remaining league games? And do you think Arsenal are going to play the strongest sides in both competitions since top four is still a possibility?
I mean, this result has put us in a good position. I imagine there's going to be some rotation for the Brighton game just because we're at home. Are Brighton safe? Are they gone? I can't remember who's relegated now.
I think they're not
safe, are they? Okay, they can still go down. So they, yeah. If Cardiff lose the next game, then Brighton are safe. It's a tough one. I mean, Leno will come back in, obviously. I hope Koz gets a rest, and I'm not sure what he does with the midfield. Maybe Elneny comes in. I guess it won't be a Mkhitaryan or start or something like that. But you can't change too much at this point. If worse the worst happens and we lose the Brighton game and we win the second leg against Valencia, then maybe you can chuck the Burnley game kind of thing. It doesn't matter as much in case you're worried about anyone for injuries. But for now, I think you still have to go for both. Because you want to keep the winning sort of vibe as well. You don't want to be up and down every week.
Fair comment. Yeah, absolutely agree. I'm going to answer the next one. Formerly Noza asks, biggest question is, can we score a goal in Valencia? Yeah, no problem. I am confident we will score away from home. That's not an issue for me. It all depends how many we let in the other side. That's the only problem. And the final question of the night to Eric Newcomer. And we're all going to answer this. Jay, starting with you, Eric asks, another year for Emery, board barking or not? What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. We need to give him another year. It's taken Klopp sort of three to get to where he is now with Liverpool. And I think if you asked all of our fans if they would want to be in that position, you know, where Liverpool is now, I think we'd all say, yeah. So we got to give the manager time. Let's hope that the board backs. Let's hope the Kroenke can back the board. I think that's the most important thing because, I mean, the board is Kroenke, right? Finkel is Einhorn. Einhorn is Finkel. I think we got to back the manager. And I think we've seen some improvement. And there's definitely speed bumps and bumps along the road. But I think, you know, get some more players in and let's see what we can do.
John.
Yeah, I'd give him another year. I don't think he's a manager who's ever going to win you the league, but that's not our target at the moment. It's about building the club back up, getting back into the Champions League, getting us re-established back into the top four. And then you go from there. And look, it may be with another season or two, he proved me wrong. I hope he does. I hope he goes on to prove me wrong. And, you know, he can start a club and win the league for us. That'd be great. But I just think we're in that transition period and he's the sort of steady hand at the till that you need.
Okay. I'm not sure. I'm really not sure.
Don't get me wrong. If somehow we magically got money and like Pep Guardiola was available, then yeah, you know.
Yeah, no, my concern with Emery is he hasn't solidified a plan A, but keeps on changing between plan A, B, C, and D. A player who's, whenever he's played for us, has made us a better team and we've played more attractive football and winning football, he's letting go out the door for nothing.
Well, we don't know if he's letting him go out the door.
Well, he said he wasn't in his plans, didn't he?
Maybe the club told him to say that.
It doesn't really matter. He said it, you know, and ultimately...
Yeah, but he's the sort of manager who's just going to go by club lines, Jason.
I don't care. I don't care, mate. My issue around it is we've seen a lot of dog shit football tonight.
And to be fair to the manager, though, a lot of that is on the players. You can only...
Bear me a second. We've seen a lot of dog shit football. We've seen a lot of dog shit setups, okay? But... if he wins Europa League, he gets top four, he's a massive success.
Yeah.
What if he just wins Europa League, but we finish like sixth? We're going to be in Champions League, but like...
If he does either, he's a massive success. Massive success. You can't take it away from him. The recent form has really worried me. But let's wait.
We won 22 back in the fall. I mean, yeah, not woman, under 22 undefeated.
He's lost 4-5. He's taken 3 points out of a...
I'll take that ratio. I'll take 20% losses. I'll take that. 80% wins. Come on, Jace.
No. This is my honest opinion, boys. You've had your say. I'm having my say. You know what I mean? It went in the sharp end of the season, when it's counted, when he's in pole position to get third, out of 15 points, he's got 3. And we haven't looked... and we only got that 3 points because... Troy Deeney was stupid enough to get sent off.
But to be fair, Jace, he has delivered thus far on the Europa League.
Hey, that you can't take that away from him, can you? You can't take that. If he wins it, he's a massive success and he deserves to carry on.
I think, don't get me wrong, he's done some very weird things and I do question his management style. And there's definitely question marks over him. But I just think the squad's in a weird place anyway and it's terribly unbalanced and I don't think that's helped him.
He's had 2 transfer windows, you know what I mean?
I don't think the club's helped him.
Hey, look, there's a lot of excuses being made, okay? And you know, if he wins the Europa League or finishes top four, he deserves massive, massive credit. You know, he's a success. But, you know, I see kind of both sides of the story on this, you know? And I'm not sold on him, but you've got to give him a chance as well, haven't you?
Yeah.
You know, it's you know, we've got to wait till the end of the season. And God, I hope he gets top four and he wins the Europa League because that would be magnificent for him and for us.
Can we end on a fun question? Very quick one, a quiz one.
Fucking hell. What do you want to bring fun into this for? Right. You want to bring fun into it? Why?
Only 3 players have scored a brace in a European semi-final for Arsenal. Lacazette's one, obviously. Can you name the other 2?
Bollocks. Alan Smith?
No.
Is it recent?
Oh, no.
Alan Sunderland?
No. Oh, Tierno's got 1.
Oh,
yes. Wasn't that Sampdoria?
Steve Bould in 95.
Yeah.
Which is one I would never have got. I would never have remembered that.
I wouldn't have got that.
Yeah. Well, how many times have we been to a semi-final? It's not very often.
In my lifetime, 1, 2, 3, 4... Well, 5, I wasn't even 1.
Mm. You'll go all the way back. Igor Stepanov's Thomas from Norway.
Thomas, you're Norway. All the way back. All the way back to 71.
1 year out, 1970.
Oh, it's not Graham. No, no, no. Fucking hell. It's not Charlie George, is it?
Yeah, it's Charlie George.
Ooh.
There we go.
Woohoo!
Well done. Yeah, who said bold in the chat box? Who was it? Tierno. Yeah, well done, Tierno. Yeah. I mean, I didn't know that. I saw it come up on Twitter. I thought that was weird. Anyway, there you go. Fun little quiz for anyone interested. You got to hear Jace go, oh, a lot.
Oh, I hate those ones, you know, because it's one of those where you sit there going, okay, who could possibly have done that? And I remember that bold semi-final as well.
I would never have got fucking Steve Bolt.
I was plastered. Absolutely plastered. Like, bear me a second. Okay, so I'm just going to pile this on Mr. Welsh here. At the end of the season, the mental health special we did a couple of weeks ago, we're going to be doing a recap of the day with Paul.
Okay.
And those the magnificent 101 who marched. So, yeah, that's brilliant. I spoke to Paul the other day, so we will be doing a follow-up on that, so Paul can give his view on the day. He was especially touched by a couple of people on there, Ed Lowe being one of them, who pushed his granddad the whole 12 miles. So a massive shout out to Ed Lowe, and tip my hat off to you, pal. Well done, that's fantastic. To all of you in the chat box, you've been brilliant. We're all celebrating a great win tonight, and it's really nice to see. And as harsh as we are on the players, it's just magic the way they came back from 1-0 down and did that. So thank you to the chat box. You've been funny, you've been intelligent, and you've been really interesting today. So well done. For those of you listening on other platforms, as always, thank you for your support. We couldn't do it without you. We appreciate each and every one of you. Because without you guys, we're just a bunch of utter plonkers talking bollocks. And we really, really are. A massive shout out to the magnificent Yvonne Okofor, to the magical Jay Rob, to the wonderful Richard Morris, to the I'm going to repeat things now, so sorry. The magnificent Michael Hahnemann, the terrible Tierno Barry, who gets a quiz question as well. Fan Davy Dozy, Jim Howson, the fantastic Nicky Wilson, the epic Eric Newcomer, Beast, Ben the Beast, the rock star, the magic man. Thank you ever so much for your donations. Yeah, all superb, and we appreciate it all. And finally, my thanks to the one and only Shredder.
Cheers, Jace. Appreciate you having me on, and glad it was after a win. Because we haven't potted after a win for a very long time.
Tell me about it, pal. Good to have you back on, mate. We're looking forward to having on a bit more from now on. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, you get a shout-out as well because you're magnificent. And two, the Crab Man. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Jace. And thank you to all the lovely ladies in the chat box, especially those of you with crabs. Thank you so much for supporting me in this difficult time.
John.
I'd scuttle away, but it would be sideways at this point.
John, switch this shit off.
Goodbye, everyone.
Good night. All the best.
Thanks, everybody.